Most of what happens in McLean County courtrooms never makes the news. Aside from the occasional high-profile criminal trial, media don't report on most of the cases. But a recent McLean County child custody case has attracted headlines. It involves a bitter legal battle between parents who both have criminal records, threats against a judge, and videos that have gone viral. GLT's Eric Stock examines how the case of 4-year-old Mikey Cadena became such a phenomenon, what it says about our legal system, and what it says about our media culture.
Mikey Cadena's mother recently regained her child after a legal struggle dating back to shortly after Amber Buck gave birth to Mikey Cadena. Pantograph newspaper reporter Edith Brady Lunny says she started following the case in 2016 when police arrested Amber Buck on charges she helped her former boyfriend run a methamphetamine lab in their Bloomington apartment. The state removed her two children from her care. Buck pleaded guilty to felony drug charges. She received a sentence of probation after Buck convinced McLean County Judge Robert Freitag that she had turned her life around. Brady Lunny says she believes the fact that Buck was a mother of two young children might have influenced the judge's decision to keep her out of prison.
The fact that she wanted to be a parent again, I think, was a factor in her favor, and it was one of the components of the probation that he wanted to see if she could do that.
Brady Lunny adds most women in prison have children, and judges try to avoid separating children from mothers. Pantograph coverage of the case continued this year when the father tried to gain custody of the boy. Michael Cadena filed for custody in 2014. He left Illinois with the boy without the court's permission in March 2017 and went back to live in Massachusetts. He refused to attend multiple child custody hearings with his son. McLean County Associate Judge Leanne Hill held Cadena in contempt of court and sentenced him to 6 months in jail. Massachusetts police arrested Michael Cadena in early October and retrieved the boy to reunite him with his mother. If Cadena wishes to pursue his custody case in Illinois, he will likely face arrest, though his attorneys are appealing the contempt order and are trying to move the case to federal court. Once those stories were posted online on the Pantograph's website and elsewhere, they took on a life of their own. Other websites picked up the case, mostly through social media shares. It went viral. Nate Carpenter runs the Social Media Analytics and Command Center, or SMAC Lab, at Illinois State University. He studies and teaches social media trends. Carpenter considers it unique that a local story with fairly minimal news coverage snowballed into a story that attracted so much online attention.
I guess it's not odd that it doesn't get picked up in other national level papers, yet sees a tremendous amount of social media coverage. And what may be interesting, that we may see the social media coverage get it national attention.
So how did it happen? A number of online blogs and other websites in Illinois and beyond picked up the story and amplified it. Sites such as BLNnews.com, Massachusetts Reddit, and a site called Turtle Boy Sports, to name a few. Carpenter was particularly amused to see 332,000 have viewed a video of little Mikey at the police station on one website, World Star Hip Hop. How do stories like this spread? Carpenter says computer algorithms connect web content to viewers who are most likely to be interested in watching.
There are a whole lot of people talking about that. And again, YouTube's also connected to Google. And if you have a Google account and you've been surfing the web and you have particular interests, a lot of people with your same interests who might be watching that video, whatever they're watching will now show up as a video that's promoted just for you.
Cadena's father was trying to exploit the viral nature of the story to win back custody of the boy, claiming the mom has been abusing the boy, producing videos on YouTube.
Please stick with us on this fight. We got to get Mikey home. The longer he's gone, the more dangerous it is. We're hearing stories going back and forth.
And Michael Cadena isn't the only family member mixing in.
And I'm Mikey's Grammy. We are still fighting. We have to get him back.
The father has even started an online petition at change.org called Help Us Save Mikey. He's asking for donations to pay his legal expenses. Carpenter from the ISU Smack Lab warned viral videos and other online content pose a threat to our public discourse because it can so easily get caught up in a digital echo chamber, regardless of its accuracy.
If you find a video that's been viewed by, you know, millions of people, it kind of falls into this fallacy of, you know, might makes right. And so, well, if a lot of people have seen this, therefore it's really powerful evidence that supports my side.
The attention has also attracted scrutiny of media coverage. The Pantograph's Edith Brady Lunny says she's received at least 30 emails from readers critical of her reporting.
I am surprised. I shouldn't be, because social media is just such an unpredictable universe that's kind of taken on a life of its own, you know, across not just this country, but all over the world.
Brady Lunny suggests news consumers have become more informed before drawing conclusions rather than relying on blogs and websites that are simply trying to push emotional buttons.
I wish they would read everything and be fully informed before they make opinions. And a lot of these people are just reading tidbits, and they're making opinions on the basis of emotion. You don't know what their personal life is. Maybe this story strikes a chord with them.
Todd Fuest says he understands why the story has struck a chord with so many. Fuest is an associate professor of sociology at Illinois Wesleyan University.
People with lots of different positions and points of view have a reason to feel angry about this case and therefore want to share it, want to talk about it with their friends, want to kind of get in fights online over it, all of which is going to be that kind of activating emotion of anger that's going to cause people to share something like this.
While an overwhelming majority of readers and viewers sharing the online content have no personal connection to the case, Fuest says the story and the police station video are compelling.
Do you see these good men? Do you see them? They're going to make sure that you're safe.
Regardless of how you feel about the veracity of the videos, they create a drama here, right? You know, there's one thing to read a dry newspaper article about, you know, a custody battle or a little boy who's upset. It's another thing to see a video of that little boy be upset.
Fuest adds, for many, the case may be relatable to what people have experienced in their own lives.
It taps into existing narratives about the court system and existing narratives about criminal justice. Do you have a problem with the criminal justice system, with courts, with judges, with crime? If you have some kind of issue with that or some way you already think about that, particularly one that's negative or that makes you angry, this case might stoke that.
As for the police station video, which shows Mikey visibly upset as he's being told he's going back to his mother, Fuest says children are products of their environment.
When you're talking about a kid, the question kind of becomes, to what degree is it manipulation? To what degree is it what the kid knows? We all socialize our kids, right? And we all socialize our kids in ways that make sense to us.
Fuest says the case of a seemingly distraught young boy plays into a media narrative that can distort reality. He draws a parallel to the way cable news has covered cases of missing women.
If you look at the actual kind of databases of missing women or missing people, and then compare it to who gets coverage, it is victims who are younger, more attractive, typically white, often blonde, because they are perceived as sympathetic. They are perceived as innocents in our society.
The problem, Fuest says, is the picture the coverage paints doesn't always square with the reality. He says it's easy to do. He gives an example in his own classroom where he gives students in his criminology class false crime data.
I say crime has been doubling every year since 1980. And everyone goes, yeah, of course it has. And then I say, actually, of course it hasn't. It's been going down since 1980. We're at the lowest point in the crime rate since just about the 1960s. But no one believes that, because when you turn on the news, the first thing you see is a robbery tonight, a shooting today.
Media attention can also impact how an attorney prepares his case. Amber Buck's lawyer, Tristan Bullington, says he figured early on this child custody case was going to be different from all the others he had handled in his 9 years as an attorney.
From the get-go, when Mr. Cadena refused to return to the state of Illinois, it was clear at that point that this was no longer a typical case and was going to be something else.
Bullington says it's frustrating that cases like this require a strategy to win in the courtroom and in the court of public opinion, which plays out online.
That's not the way we do court hearings, and we're not going to do a court hearing over Facebook. We're not going to do a court hearing over YouTube videos. It's just wildly inappropriate to handle a hearing that way.
Bullington acknowledges it was tempting at times to refute what he saw online.
My initial reaction is I want to go in there and create an account at the various different social media sites where that's being shared and respond to every single message with what has actually happened. What I actually do is nothing, because it's not appropriate to go and share confidential information on the internet with people who really have no business being involved in this child's life.
Bullington dismisses claims by the Cadena family Buck has abused little Mikey. Bullington says he has tried to shield the boy from media scrutiny.
Let's assume that all of the things that are being said are true, which, again, I don't believe that to be the case. I still wouldn't want that out there about a child. That doesn't help the child at all. That doesn't keep him safer. That doesn't protect him. That just opens him up for bullying and harassment in the future.
Bullington says Buck has been threatened on various social media pages, but he noted they typically are taken down once reported. And he says that viral police station video of Mikey being told he's being reunited with his mother was evidently created and posted to sway public opinion in the father's favor.
I don't see any reason why that video would have been made, period, but for trying to garner support on the internet. And it's unfortunate that a lot of that has now been used for fundraising purposes to try and make money off of members of the public who don't know what's going on.
Bullington says he understands why many viewers have a strong reaction to the police station video where Mikey is told he's going home with his mother, but he says they can't get the facts unless they show up in court and get the facts from a hearing on the best interests of a minor child. Bullington has departed from his rule against responding publicly. He distributed a video to the media and to Mikey Cadena's family and friends, taken shortly after Mikey came back to Illinois with his mother. The clip shows Mikey at a playground and taking cookies to the police department in Massachusetts. Bullington says he took the videos down after a short time. He says they were solely to counter claims the boy was unhappy going with his mother.
I know some people have expressed concern that the video is staged, the video doesn't show enough information, the video doesn't show him playing with other children. No matter what we released, there was going to be criticisms of it. The point of the video was not to show everything. It was to respond to one particular point, which is that Mikey is fine. Leave us alone.
Bullington acknowledges Amber Buck's criminal past likely played a role in raising public sentiment against her. He suggests that is out of proportion.
From what they read, it comes across as 2 days ago, there was a meth house, and now the child is going back there. It couldn't be further from the truth. My client's been sober for over 2 years.
The case has drawn so much online vitriol, it led to threats against the judge who granted custody to the boy's mother. McLean County Sheriff John Sandage says his department has issued subpoenas to gain access to phone numbers where the threats originated. He says he doesn't expect to make any arrests.
Although a lot of these messages were somewhat harassing in nature, we have found that nothing is really prosecutable.
Sandage says the courts received vague references to violence, but no direct threats against the judge or anyone else. He says investigators warned those responsible their threats were borderline criminal. The courts also tightened security following the threats.
It's a sad situation that anybody would put a child in the middle like that. I will say that a majority of the issues we see in the courthouse as far as volatile issues are in our family courts.
Sandage says judges and public figures now need more protection from what he sees as growing public vitriol.
And I think a lot of it has to do with social media. There's more avenues for people to express their feelings now, and they're putting it out there, and sometimes it does cross the line.
Sandage says his office cannot regularly monitor social media, but does respond to complaints. Despite the time it takes to investigate online threats, Sandage says social media can make police work easier.
People like to brag, and usually the In this day and age, the way they brag is going on social media.
Sandage says social media can also help identify someone in cases where they get only partial information at a crime scene. As for Mikey, attorney Tristan Bullington says the boy is getting psychological treatment and is doing well. He won't say where the family lives. Regardless of how the case plays out in court and in the media, Bullington says the custody struggle will be a part of the boy's life for years to come.
And that's what's been really unfortunate about this, is that that evidence is out there, and that's something that this child is going to have to deal with for the rest of his life, since it's not going to disappear off the internet.
Michael Cadena's attorneys in Massachusetts and in Bloomington refused GLT's request to be interviewed for this story. I'm Eric Stock.
Judge Leon Hill announced plans in September to retire. Her last day on the bench is December 19th. This week, the new judge appointed in the case ordered the parents to begin setting up telephone visits between the father and son.